the headlines, Russia warns it will strike new targets if the West supplies long-range missiles to Ukraine, noting new arms deliveries to Kiev are aimed at prolonging the conflict. Moscow strikes Kiev with missiles for the first time in more than a month, while Ukraine says it has retaken half of the city of Severodonetsk. And tragedy in Bangladesh, dozens dead, hundreds injured as a massive blaze burns through a storage facility overnight. Thank you for joining us. My name is Gisum Shahmadi, and these are our top stories this hour. Since the beginning of the war in Ukraine, Moscow has repeatedly expressed frustration at Western arms supplies to Kiev, but it has now issued the sternest warning yet. Russia's president has threatened Moscow will strike targets not hit before if the West supplies long-range missiles to Ukraine. Vladimir Putin says Western arms deliveries to Kiev are solely aimed at prolonging the conflict for as long as possible. His comments came just days after the United States announced it would give Ukraine multiple launch rocket systems, which reportedly have a slightly longer range than their Russian counterparts. Putin, however, said there was, quote, nothing new in the weapons supplied by Washington to Kiev. He said Ukrainian forces possess weapons similar to Soviet or Russian-made systems. Russia says it has already targeted several foreign weapons shipments in Ukraine. On Sunday, Moscow said it had destroyed tanks given to Ukraine by Eastern European countries during the strikes on Kiev. As Russia's war in Ukraine grinds on, the eastern city of Severodonetsk has become the latest battle line in the conflict. The Ukrainian president says clashes are being fought street by street. Volodymyr Zelensky says the situation remains extremely difficult in the strategic city. He says cities in the eastern Donbass region are under constant airstrikes and artillery and missile fire, but Ukrainian forces are holding their ground. Severodonetsk is the last Ukrainian stronghold in the Luhansk region of Donbass. The war in Ukraine has taken a heavy civilian toll. In the latest such fatalities, at least 11 civilians were reported killed in the Luhansk and Donetsk regions and in the southern city of Mykolaiv. Russian forces redeployed to eastern and southern Ukraine after pulling back from other areas, including around the capital, but missile struck Kiev for the first time in more than a month. At least one person was hospitalized in the latest such explosion on Sunday. Earlier, we're joined by Johnny Miller, our correspondent, from the site of a fresh missile attack in the eastern Ukrainian city of Donetsk. He told us where the missile was coming from.
I'm in a district of Donetsk. Last night, about 9 o'clock, the city was rocked by loud explosions. I'm at the scene right now. Now, scenes like this are nothing new in Donbass, but particularly around this area, it is new as people are walking around in disbelief about what's happened. The truth here in Donetsk is that the Ukrainian army has been shelling civilian areas, and it's been doing so for the last 8 years, targeting and killing its own civilians. Most people here in Donetsk say they no longer want to be part of Ukraine, and increasingly they want to join Russia. And this is one of the major reasons why of Ukraine shelling and killing its own people. Over 10,000 people have been killed in the last 8 years, over 100 children. A five-year-old girl was killed just a few days ago while she was sitting in her apartment watching TV. And it's a story here that's very important to be told in order to understand this conflict. If I was a journalist standing in the west of the country now, no doubt I'd be covering Russian strikes. But here in the east, in the separatist-style areas, it's Ukrainian strikes. And it's increasingly some countries, at least behind the scenes, call for negotiation or for Ukraine to cede some territory. It's very important for the people here in Donbass and the separatists here and why they rose up and why they continue to fight. It's very important for their views to be heard as well. Well, miraculously, nobody was killed in these strikes. There's reports that 10 people have been wounded and one child. It happened about 9 o'clock, so most people were in their apartments. But that severity, almost every day here, people are killed by the shelling. It's not even really a story that journalists cover every day because it's just simply part of daily life. And incredibly, in the Western media, this story is not being told. Indeed, this has been going on for the last 8 years here in Donbass. It's a reason why, one of the main reasons why the separatists rose up and continued to fight. And as I said, their views, the people here, their views, and that fact that the Ukrainian army has been killing its own people for the last 8 years, that fact needs to be borne into mind. And it's very important to tell that story in order to understand why this conflict is happening.
North Korea has fired 8 short-range ballistic missiles towards the sea off the east coast. South Korea says the missiles were fired from an area of the North Korean capital, Pyongyang. In recent weeks, North Korea has test-fired a range of ballistic missiles, including its largest intercontinental ballistic missile. The latest one comes just the day after South Korea and the United States wrapped up their first combined military drills involving an American aircraft carrier in more than 4 years. North Korea has criticized their previous joint drills as an example of Washington's continued hostile policies towards Pyongyang, despite its talks of diplomacy. Earlier, we were joined by independent political analyst Andrew Leong for a comment. He says North Korea's latest tests are a warning against the United States and South Korea, as Pyongyang has lost its confidence in reaching a consensus in the peace talks.
The North Koreans have completely lost interest, let alone confidence, in the so-called talks led by the United States, because the United States always wants to have it all without giving anything as any, even the minimum concession right at the beginning. Secondly, the North Koreans and now, I think, completely hooked on the idea that it's better to develop their own nuclear deterrence and also the missile delivery systems. And of course, the immediate reaction is against this quite large-scale military exercises right at its front door. So in a way, this is a warning against the United States and South Korea. But on the other hand, the North Koreans are taking advantage of this the present situation, whereby the United States is increasingly distracted over Ukraine, and also domestically all sorts of problems.
The death toll from a fire and explosion at a shipping container depot in Bangladesh has risen to 49. Hundreds were also injured in the incident at a container storage facility in a town near the key port city of Chittagong. The toll is expected to rise, with some of the injured in serious conditions. Volunteers working alongside emergency crews and firefighters brought bodies from the facility strewn with the wreckage. They said that there were more inside. The fire started late on Saturday at the depot, where around 4,000 containers were stored. Then containers holding chemicals exploded, engulfing firefighters, journalists, and others in an inferno. Lebanon says Israel is creating a new crisis by intruding into disputed waters of the Mediterranean Sea. President Michel Aoun said in a posting on Twitter that any activity in the disputed maritime zone is provocative and hostile. Aoun was referring to a ship entering the disputed waters of the Mediterranean border. Meanwhile, caretaker Prime Minister Najib Mikati has said Israel is, quote, imposing a fake comply in the area where Lebanon adheres to its rights. Mikati said the regime attempts its, quote, extremely dangerous. Lebanon and Israel have been in a territorial dispute over the boundaries of economic waters in the Mediterranean. Both claim about 860 square kilometers of potentially gas-rich area as being within their own exclusive economic zone. Iran has slammed a visit by the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency to Israel ahead of the IAEA Board of Governors meeting on Iran. Tehran says the trip contradicts the agency's impartiality and undermines its technical and professional status. Why is the IAEA chief in Israel while the regime itself is a violator of the agency's rules?
Tehran has blasted the controversial visit by the Director General of the International Atomic Energy Agency to Israel. The IAEA chief, Rafael Grossi, held talks with the Israeli regime's Prime Minister, Naftali Bennett, in Tel Aviv, days after criticism of Iran's peaceful nuclear program. Iran's foreign ministry has warned of further erosion of the agency's credibility, while its Director General kept silent on Israel's secret nuclear arsenal. Ministry spokesman Said Khatibzadeh said this questions the IAEA's impartiality. Grossi's visit to Tel Aviv came in the backdrop of a report by the IAEA alleging that Iran has not clarified the presence of nuclear material at three sites. Khatibzadeh, pointing to the UN nuclear body's blatant double standards, said the world powers cannot overlook Israel's weapons program while indulging in rhetoric about Iran's peaceful atomic program. Israel has never signed up to the Non-Proliferation Treaty that aims to ensure civilian use of nuclear technology. Tel Aviv possesses the largest number of nuclear warheads in the region and has never allowed IAEA inspectors to scrutinize its nuclear sites. On the other hand, Iran, despite being a signatory of the Non-Proliferation Treaty, continues to reel under harsh sanctions for pursuing a peaceful nuclear program. Earlier this week, Israeli Prime Minister Naftali Bennett accused Iran of stealing classified documents from the IAEA and using them to deceive international inspectors nearly two decades ago. Iran rejected the allegations as outright lies. The International Atomic Energy Agency's Board of Governors is scheduled to hold a meeting on Monday, with all eyes on the agency's latest report. The meeting is reportedly set to adopt an anti-Iran resolution drafted by Britain, France, Germany, and the United States to accuse the Islamic Republic of withholding cooperation with the agency. Israel backs the draft resolution to rebuke Iran by the IAEA Board of Governors. Tehran has warned against any unconstructive action at the upcoming meeting of the body, saying it will respond immediately and proportionately.
The right to resist this kind of bullying and coercion and sort of domination from the West, that right to resist is not allowed. You were never allowed to resist. And anything Iran does to preserve its independence is going to be labeled as dangerous and subversive somehow to the international order, and on and on and on.
Britain, France, and Germany, all parties to the 2015 Iran deal, plan to present a resolution urging more cooperation from Tehran. The United States has voiced support for the resolution. Meanwhile, Iran's foreign minister says such behavior goes against diplomacy and will complicate the talks in Vienna to revive the JCPOA.
Iran says the visit by the International Atomic Energy Agency's chief, Rafael Grossi, to Israel ahead of the meeting of the Board of Governors is in contradiction with the agency's principles of observing impartiality and maintaining its technical and professional status. Foreign Minister Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the remarks in a phone call with the European Union's foreign policy chief, Josep Borrell, while pointing to the destructive measures of the Zionist regime, which is the main culprit of illegal nuclear activities in the world. Amir Abdullahian censured the, quote, hasty and unconstructive move by the U.S. and the three European countries, namely Britain, France, and Germany, in compiling a draft resolution at the IAEA. He said such behavior goes against diplomacy and will complicate the talks in Vienna to revive the 2015 deal between Iran and the world powers. He reiterated Iran's resolve to reach a good, strong, and lasting deal. Iran's foreign minister also said his country will immediately, effectively, and proportionately respond to any political move against Tehran at the International Atomic Energy Agency. Joseph Borrell, for his part, censured what he called some attempts to undermine the Vienna talks. He urged all the parties involved to continue the dialogue to change the current negative atmosphere pervading the IAEA. The Board of Governors meeting will come as a pause in the marathon negotiations to revive the 2015 Iran deal has entered its third month, with prospects described by Washington as tenuous at best. Tehran blames the US and its three European allies, France, Britain and Germany, for failing to act constructively.
That brings us to the end of this edition of World News.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Listeners Special. In the name of God, the compassionate, the merciful. Salam, dear listeners, and warm greetings to you all. Welcome to this week's edition of Listeners Special on this Sunday, June 5th, 2022. I'm Atefe Erfani, hosting this program today. Dear listeners, I do express my condolences on the 33rd passing away anniversary of the founder of the Islamic Revolution, late Imam Khomeini, God's mercy upon him, which was yesterday on June 4th. And today, as you know, is June 5th, and this day marks the anniversary of June 5th Uprising 1963, which sparked developments which led to the victory of the Islamic Revolution 15 years later. Condolences to you all on these two anniversaries. Reception reports from around the world, as well as emails and letters, which I mention some of their names, and later during the program, I will read these great emails from our dear listeners from around the world. Here we've received reception reports from Mizanur Rahman, one of our old and regular listeners from Bangladesh. Also, we've received a reception report from Han Hardong from the Netherlands, as well as a reception report from Howard Barnett from England, one of our old and regular listeners. Of course, we've received many emails from around the world, including an email from Hitoshi Sugio from Japan. Konstantin Provatorov from Ukraine has sent us an email. Bill McDavid from the US has sent us an email. Hasna Manzil from India and Pratima Behakat from India have sent us emails. Thank you very much for being with us. After a short break, I will read these great emails from around the world. Stay with me. Well, Welcome back. This is Listeners Special, your program. And as I said, Hitoshi Sugiyo from Japan has sent us an email. Let's see what Hitoshi says. Dear IRIB English Radio staff, my name is Hitoshi Sugiyo. I am 51 years old and I work in a municipality here in Higo, Japan. I have received your program and I would like to give you a report. I listened to your English program at home. Signal was very weak and I had difficulty to understand the program. I'll conclude my reception report. If you confirm the details of my report is correct, I request you to send me your verification card or letter to my address in Japan or by email. Thank you in advance. Salam and warm greetings to you, Hitoshi Sugiyo from Japan, and many thanks for sending us this email. As your request for sending you a QSL card, my colleagues in IRIB English Radio will soon send you an EQSL card as a verification. You gave us some information about the quality of the program. As you said, in your region, the signal was very weak and you had difficulty to understand the program. I will inform my colleagues about this problem and our technicians and engineers soon will fix the problem you had in your region. Hitoshi Sugiyo from Japan, why don't you tell us which program or programs you like the best? Tell us your views about our programs. And if, at times, if you had difficulty in listening to the programs for a short time, for a temporary period, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en and you can catch up the programs you like. And after we fix the problem, you can refer to the traditional kind of listening to the radio, I mean the shortwave. Anyway, thank you very much for writing to us and telling your views about the quality of the programs. Write to us soon. We're looking forward to hearing from you soon. And let's see who has written to us. Yes, from India, Hasna Manzil, one of our regular listeners, has written to us in an email. Hasna Manzil says, "Dear friends at IRIB English Radio, I am a listener of world radios and this time I had a chance to listen to IRIB English service based in Tehran, Iran. I would love to listen to your radio regularly too, so please send me the frequency guide of your station with complete details of the programs. I shall be very grateful if you do it." Hasna Manzil from India, Salam from Tehran, Iran, and IRIB English Radio. Please accept our appreciations for sending us this email. So you listen to world radio programs, and this time you listen to IRIB English Radio, and that's great. Hasna Manzil, as for your request about sending you the frequency guide, the frequency guide is available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en, and there you can find the frequency schedule and frequency guide. Because at the time of the pandemic, sending any material on behalf of IRIB English Radio to our great listeners is not possible. So you can refer to our website to find our frequency schedule or frequency guide. But for the time being, please accept our EQSL card. Anyway, thank you very much for sending us this email. Write to us soon, Hasna Manzil from India. So after a short break, I will be back with other emails from around the world. Stay with me. Welcome back. Here we have an email from Ukraine from Konstantin Provotorov, one of our old and regular listeners. So Konstantin says, "Dear friends, greetings from Ukraine. I have had great pleasure in logging your station and sending you my reception report. trusting that you will be in a position to verify it. Would you be kind enough to send me your EQSL card? I enclosed audio files recording your broadcast. Thank you for your previous replies. Salam and warm greetings to you, Konstantin Provotorov, and thank you very much for writing to us, writing to your radio, IRIB English Radio. Yes, my colleagues will soon send you an electronic QSL card as a verification. And we've received your audio file recording, IRIB English Radio broadcast. Konstantin Provotorov, write to us soon and tell us your views about IRIB English Radio programs. So here we have another email from India from Pratima Bahakat. So Pratima Bahakat from India says, "Dear IRIB English Radio friends, my name is Pratima Bahakat from Foreign Radio Listeners Club based in India. We would appreciate it if you can send us your current printed schedule, some souvenirs, stamps, and small gifts if possible. Please keep sending your newsletter." Salam and warm greetings to you, Pratima Bahakat from India. Please accept our warm gratitudes and appreciations for sending us this email. So you are from Foreign Radio Listeners Club based in India. We're so happy that the signals of IRIB English Radio are received in your region and in your country, India, and in your Foreign Radio Listeners Club, which is based in your country, India. For your request, as I have mentioned several times during our programs in Listeners Special, sending any material, any, souvenirs, promotional items of IRIB English Radio at the time of pandemic is actually not possible. Maybe after the pandemic, we can get back on our track in sending our great listeners the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. But at the time, just please accept our electronic QSL card. And after the pandemic, as I said, we will get back on track and send our listeners the souvenirs of IRIB English Radio. As for the frequency schedule, you can refer to our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Pratima Bahakat from India, write to us soon. We are looking forward to hearing from you soon and also from your Foreign Radio Listeners Club. Thank you again. So after a short break, I will be back with another email. Stay with me. So the last but not the least is an email from Bill McDevitt from the US. So let's see what Bill says. "Greetings from Florida. Thank you very much for the verification card, QSL card you sent. IRIB English Radio has very beautiful cards, quite impressive. I enjoy your daily broadcast on 9855 kHz when conditions are favorable for reception. I most enjoy your listeners' special segment of your program. Also, would suggest you to present your local news and weather. It is always interesting for listeners to hear cultural stories about your local area. Again, many thanks for the QSL card and please keep up the good work. Best regards, Bill." So, salam and warm greetings to you, Bill McDevitt from the US. And many thanks for sending us this email. Yes, my colleagues send our great listeners EQSL cards as a verification. And we are so happy that you're enjoying the segment of our program. I mean, listeners especially, it's great. It's an honor that we hear the news of support and commitment to our program, listeners especially, and of course, to our radio, IRIB English Radio. If you're interested in listening stories and series about the culture of Iran. You can refer to different programs we broadcast at a time. For example, we have a program about the tourist attractions of Iran, which is called Close Up Iran. You can refer to this program, which is broadcast on Mondays. Yes, on Mondays, you can listen to this program. And the details of this program, the frequency, is available at our website at www.parstoday.com/en. And we have, at this website, we have the archive of our past programs about cultural stories. There you can find many different programs about the culture of Iran. Yes. Thank you very much, Bill McDavid, for sending us this email and reflecting your views about our programs. Write to us soon, Bill, and tell us your views about other programs of IRIB English Radio. Welcome back. Here we wrap up this week's edition of Listeners Special. Please keep in touch with us and have a good time.
Dear listeners, your opinion is always important to us. We invite you to spend just a few minutes writing us a letter or sending us an email. We'll be glad to hear from all of our listeners who have any questions or comments about any of our programs. Our postal address is IRIB English Service, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran. You can also send your emails to EnglishRadio@irib.ir. That is one word, EnglishRadio@irib.ir. Please visit our website at www.parstoday.com/en. Our phone number is 00982122013720. Once again, our phone number is 00982122013720. Our profile is also in Facebook. Our address is www.facebook.com/pasttodayenglish. Thank you all.
وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه وبالوالدين إحسانا.
Your Lord has decreed that you shall not worship anyone except Him, and He has enjoined kindness to parents.
For humanity.
Sayyid Abdullah Al-Musawi.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome to IRIB English Radio, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. The issue of human rights is one of the most fundamental human issues, and there is no argument about that. And at the same time, it is one of the most sensitive and controversial as well. Because when we look at human rights, we always seem to see it from our perspective. Now, I as a human being and you as a human being want to enjoy all your basic human rights. But sometimes when it comes to other people, we seem to say, well, they don't deserve it. Oh, they don't deserve to live. They don't deserve to have this. They don't deserve to have that. And becomes very sensitive and controversial. Should all human beings enjoy it, or is it limited to a specific group of people? Now, during recent decades, this problem, the problem or the issue of human rights, it was more of a political issue rather than ethical or legal. So as we see now, starting from the last two decades or maybe a little bit more, but, you know, to be specific, even to the last decade, when the whole world started this industrial revolution and the world became kind of one village from, you know, the inventions of radios and TVs and what have you. So people started to become closer. So it was, this issue was turned into a political issue rather than an ethical or, legal issue. Although the influence of politics or political motives are considerations of how we made this issue and this topic more complicated and very hard to at least apply rather than grasp. So in the Western thought, the issue of human rights was raised by thinkers of the at least post-Renaissance period. It is only since the last 200 years or so that it became an issue of prominence amongst the political and social issue of the Western society. So it is a new concept, a fairly new born concept to the Westerners or to the Western world when philosophers and thinkers started to, you know, dive in more into this issue. But when we examine the causes of many social changes and political upheavals, we find that the marks of its presence and its principal ideals. So during the last decades, this emphasis reached its climax in the West. And then we have especially with the formation of the United Nations after the Second World War, and subsequently drafting what we call the Charter or the Declaration of Human Rights Charter, where they laid the laws and rules and the morals to how human beings should treat one another or what rights they should enjoy. So it wasn't very long when this charter was announced and the United Nations were trying to force the countries under their wing to apply it. So within the last two decades, this concept was brought forward. How was it in Islam, though? Is it also the same? Is it recent or is it old? And how does Islam look at this issue? Let us take a break and then we continue right after.
Dear listeners, you're listening to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. You can send us your emails, comments, and questions at englishradio@irib.ir.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program For Humanity. So just before the break, we were saying that the Western world itself, the concept of human rights, was introduced to it within the last two decades. So it's fairly a new concept of idea. And they're still working on it. trying to perfect it. But apparently it's not happening. They're not doing it very well because it is politically motivated rather than ethically motivated. As Muslims, though, we Muslims, of course, know it very well that if the West world and the Western civilization had paid attention to this matter in the recent centuries, Islam has dealt with it from various aspects many centuries back. I mean, if the West just opened their eyes to the concept of human rights, we as Muslims, this concept of human rights started centuries back. It started with Islam itself. When Islam came, it came with every aspect of a human rights that people might indulge with. The idea of human rights as a fundamental a principle can be seen to underline throughout Islamic teachings. And this does not need any elaboration for any Muslim audience. As Muslims, our practice, our daily practice with one another and with our fellow human beings revolves around the issue of human rights. So I have been taught Islamically by the Quran and by the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi and the household that I need to respect my fellow human beings. I need to treat them fairly and I need to treat them with respect. And even if we take the classical hadith from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alayhi, that he says, love for others that which you love for yourself, is basically the foundation of human rights. As much as I like to enjoy free will, life, education, safety, security, and the list goes on, as much as I like to enjoy them, then I should love it for someone else to enjoy. So I can't say, well, no, I'm the elite, I'm superior to other beings, so I should enjoy these rights and I don't care about other people, or other people should not get it. That is not an Islamic ideal. So all Muslims, from the beginning, they had their own charter of human rights embedded in their teachings, in their life, in their work, and everything they do. Rather, if we look at it from a Western perspective, it's a very new concept. To this day, we are still seeing people suffer, even within the civilization or countries, that they claim to be, you know, human rights champions. Look at the States, United States, for example. You will see until today, you know, people of color, they're having issue in the country. People of different ethnicities, they're still having issues. People with certain faiths, they're still having issues. They've been prosecuted, they've been suffering. There's a lot of restrictions on them. They, you know, and we created phobias for them, like, for example, Islamophobia, and so on and so forth. So you can begin to say that there is no human rights being applied when the people. It might be written on a charter somewhere, but on the ground, it does not exist in the Western civilization. Where Muslims, it is their daily practice. And that's what makes Islam more superior to any system that man has made. We'll leave it here, inshallah, and we will continue in episodes to come. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa alihi.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
In the limelight.
The U.S. regime is playing with fire that could badly burn the American people for no fault of their own, says Kahan International staff writer in an article published under the heading U.S. Stupidity Pushing Planet to the Edge of the Precipice. Stay tuned for more. The U.S. regime is playing with fire that could badly burn the American people for no fault of their own, since in case of a direct conflict with either Russia in Europe or with China in East Asian waters, the flames of war might engulf North America as well, given the reach, range, speed, and precision of the sophisticated weapons in the armory of belligerents. Wisdom is conspicuously absent in Washington. If not, weapons would not have been supplied to Ukraine, which is involved in a purely inter-Slavic conflict with Russia that warrants the staying out of all other parties, including the European Union and the U.S. regime. The same idiocy is being shown by the U.S. in East Asia, which President Joe Biden recently visited to stoke unnecessary tensions with North Korea and China, especially with threats to militarize the inter-Chinese issue of breakaway Taiwan. It is thus natural for Moscow to step up its operations in Ukraine against an erring Volodymyr Zelensky, a Zionist comedian who, with American back, had been dubiously elected as president in Kiev and carried the joke of joining NATO too far. The same could be said of Beijing, which has no other choice but to step up its air and sea patrols in the Strait of Taiwan to safeguard China's sovereignty and territorial integrity following the intrusion of a U.S. naval force in those waters and the American armaments dispatched to Taipei. Kremlin spokesperson Dmitry Peskov points out that Moscow believes the White House is deliberately pouring oil on the fire by sending weapons to Ukraine, and that the United States is obviously holding the line that it will fight Russia to the last Ukrainian. This is evident by the new $700 million weapons package announced by Joe Biden, which includes helicopters, Javelin anti-tank weapon systems, tactical vehicles, and much more, such as advanced rocket systems that can precisely strike long-range targets 70 kilometers deep inside Russia. Peskov said Moscow was skeptical about Kiev not firing such rockets into Russia as the conflict rages on. This increases the risk of direct confrontation between the two countries of Russia and the U.S. that might first destroy the economy and political stability of Europe before bombs and missiles begin to devastate the cities of North America, which, due to their remoteness from the battlefields of the old war, had hitherto remained safe. Meanwhile, the Chinese military has conducted a readiness patrol in the seas and airspace around Taiwan in response to what it said, the collusion between Washington and Taipei. The People's Liberation Army Eastern Theater Command said in a statement recently, "Recently, the United States has frequently made moves on the Taiwan issue, saying one thing and doing another, instigating support for independence of the Breakaway Island, which will push Taiwan into a dangerous situation. All these dangerous developments, where dialogue is conspicuously absent, do not bode well for international peace and stability, which, in case of Washington's stupidity in starting direct military conflicts, will suck in many other countries into an unwanted world war that could be detrimental to human survival on Earth in view of the possible of use of weapons of mass destruction and definite destruction of the fragile ecology of already critical planets.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and IranSat or Bat 5, and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website www.parstoday.com/en.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program, Hadith of the Day, here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble hadith and tradition, which has been narrated from the Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, regarding shaking hands with one another. The Holy Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, "When you meet each other, receive each other with the greeting of peace." Salam, meaning say salam alaikum to one another when you meet each other, and a handshake and shake one another's hands. And when you part company, do so by seeking each other's forgiveness, meaning ask Allah to forgive the other person. Right? Of course, we're going to make the reservation here that right now we're in the time of a pandemic, the coronavirus pandemic, and obviously it's... We have been recommended by medical experts to distance ourselves from one another physically and socially, and avoid physical contact with one another, any kind of contact that would spread the virus from and transmit it from one person to another. Right. So we know that in the conduct of the Imams, alayhim as-salam, there are certain things which allude to this fact, that this is good to avoid, coming into contact with one another in these times of sickness and illness and these kind of things. So this recommendation of shaking hands with one another, obviously this is a recommendation for a normal situation and not in the time that we're in. But this is in a normal situation, this shaking one's hand, it has it has good worldly and otherworldly benefits. In another tradition, the Prophet said, "Shake hands with each other, for verily the handshake takes away resentment." And this is, of course, the allusion to the worldly benefit of shaking a brother's hand. Imam Baqir alayhi salam also said the following, and this alludes to the otherworldly and spiritual benefits of it. "When a man shakes his companion's hand, the one who holds on the longest has the greater reward than the one who lets go." This kind of alludes to the etiquette of shaking hands. Not only have we been recommended to shake one another's hand, but it tells us how to do so. "Indeed, sins fall off from between them as a result of it until finally no sin remains." What a beautiful hadith. And of course, we also have to mention another reservation here, and it's that we're not allowed to shake the hands of a non-mahram, a person who of the other gender whom we are not allowed to marry or who are not one of our relations. Regarding this specifically, we have certain hadiths. For example, the Holy Prophet said, "Verily, I do not shake hands with women." Lastu usalihul nisa. And Imam Sadiq alayhi salam said, "As for any woman whom one can marry," meaning not one's immediate relative, "one must not shake her hand except from under a cloth, nor clasp her palm." Right. So I guess there's an exception to this. If it's from over a cloth, then this is permissible. It's interesting to know, one of my teachers related something. He said that one time he went to visit the leader of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini, may God's peace be upon him, and there was a woman there who wanted to kiss his hand. So the Imam, God's peace and blessings be upon him, wrapped his hand in a cloth and extended it for the woman, and the woman kissed the hand from over the cloth. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at shaking hands in the words of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
Doing a sound from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
Hello and welcome to Spotlight. Iran's foreign minister says his country will immediately, effectively, and proportionately respond to any political move against Tehran by the United States and its allies at the International Atomic Energy Agency. Hossein Amir Abdullahian censured the, quote, hasty and destructive move by Washington and the three European countries, namely Britain, France, and Germany, in compiling a draft resolution at the IAEA. Elsewhere, the Israeli Prime Minister steps up his rhetoric against Iran as he hosts the head of the International Atomic Energy Agency, Rafael Grossi, just 4 days ahead of the IAEA Board of Governors meeting on Iran. The Israeli regime has said it will take action if the international community fails to stop Iran's nuclear program within, quote, the relevant time frame. The rhetoric comes despite repeated warnings by Iran against any Israeli act of aggression.
This is the International Atomic Energy Agency, the IAEA.